Subcommittee on Lands come to order. We're going to hear four possible bills, I believe. And we will start with Senator Bach in Senate File 707.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. There's a delete everything amendment, the A1 amendment. I believe council has it.
Mr. Knopf, you have a... Senator Saxog, would you move the amendment?
I move the A2 amendment.
Is it A2 or A1?
It's A2.
A2? Senator Bach?
On to Senate File 272?
No, 707.
707. It had to be one of the two, Mr. Chair.
We have A2 amendment to Senate File 707. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You have the bill in order, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Senator Scogin. I have with me the Lake County Land Commissioner, who can explain this much better than I can. But we met for the first time last summer to talk about this with recently deceased County Commissioner Claire Nelson, a good friend of many of us in the room, actually, and when I had the opportunity to go up to Claire's funeral this winter when he died in a very tragic accident, I bumped into Commissioner Commissioner Martinson there and asked him about the possibility of naming this new forest for County Commissioner Claire Nelson, and we talked about the fact that it would be a very nice gesture to do. That's what this bill is going to do. In addition to giving the county a way to pay for the land, we're going to name this forest the Claire A. Nelson Memorial Forest. Claire Nelson was a tireless advocate for Lake County, was a very, you know, our county commissioners are not paid enough for the work that they do, especially when you get into rural counties. And he took a part-time job with part-time pay and put his heart into it 100% of every day. And many people, other county commissioners around the state, people at Bowser, people at DNR, people at PCA, developed long friendships, and many of them were up at the wake the night that I had the opportunity to go up there, and we'll miss Claire a lot. So this forest is going to be named after him. I'll have Mr. Martinson explain why we need this language to allow county to complete the purchase.
Thank you.
Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Tom Martinson. I'm land commissioner for Lake County.
Thank you.
Before Claire Nelson died and while he was Lake County Board Chairman, Lake County purchased 6,085 acres of forest land from the Conservation Fund to ensure that this block of forest would be open to the public and would be managed sustainably. Lake County manages 150,000 acres of tax forfeit land. At the end of each year, a portion of the net revenues derived from this management is apportioned to the school district and townships. Legislation we are seeking temporarily suspends the apportionment to the school district and townships until the balance of the loan is paid. The suspension of the apportionment is allowed only after approval from the school district and townships. Approval from the school district and two of the five townships has already been received. An equal value of tax forfeit land will be sold at public auction to offset the loss of private lands. No riparian lands will be sold. If the legislation is not passed, the apportionment of net revenues from the extraordinary land sales needed to purchase the forest will be apportioned, and many more tax forfeit parcels will have to be sold. The land was purchased for $2,200,000, a conservation easement that reduced the price down from $3.1 million has been placed on the land currently held by the Nature Conservancy. The conservation easement will be held eventually by the DNR. We worked on this project, Claire and I, and the Lake County Board of Commissioners for quite a while last year. Claire and I started looking at this sale of land as who else can we get to buy it? And if we couldn't get by it, if we couldn't get anyone else to buy it, could we somehow buy it? And we talked to Commissioner Merriam, Brad Moore. We've talked to everybody, the Nature Conservancy, and it was a combination of some RIM credits and land, 600, 700 acres that the Nature Conservancy gave to the DNR. The Nature Conservancy also donated $200,000 to Lake County. And they just recently purchased 220 acres from Minnesota Power to make this block of land whole. So it's just not Lake County asking for legislation here. It's been a combination of working with the DNR, Nature Conservancy, Conservation Fund, Minnesota Power. And I think it's a fitting tribute to Claire Nelson. And I just thank you for your help. If you have any questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bach.
When Commissioner Holston and I flew up to Claire's wake, we talked about the idea of naming this forest after him. And the commissioner expressed to me a great appreciation for the fact that Claire was always looking for a way to get the job done. And this is a very, very creative way to do the right thing for a 6,000-acre piece of forest land to make sure that it stays in forestry for the future and that it doesn't end up developed. And likely much of this land would have been sold off and developed had it not been for Tom Martinson and Commissioner Claire Nelson. And to their credit, they found a very creative way to fund it. And that's the kind of guy that Claire was. He was one of those can-do guys that he looked at a problem and always looking for some way to find a solution. Now, I will tell you, Claire did call me and ask me if there was some way we could get our hands on some of that forest legacy money to help the county make this purchase. And, you know, I think he knew, kind of tongue-in-cheek, that you know, that probably wasn't going to happen, that that land was spoke for and it was intended for the state, not for counties to use. And so he went to work with Mr. Martinson here, and they found a very creative way. And this will be quite a thing, quite a legacy for him, and certainly something that he very much deserves.
Senator Saxog.
Well, if Senator Bach, if there's no other comment, I'd move that Senate File 707 as amended be recommended to pass, laid over for possible inclusion in Senate File 1119.
We have the motion. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So be it. Senator Bach, I believe you also have Senate Files 272.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the only other land bill that I have this session, and I think in 13 years here, I don't know that I've only had two. You know, I represent a bunch of rural counties with a lot of tax forfeited land, and can't ever remember only having two of these to deal with. But this one is pretty simple. And Mr. Martinson is here to explain it, but what we're going to just do here is exchange a piece of tax-forfeited land. A private landowner is taking over a piece of county tax forfeit. The county is getting another piece, so it's just an exchange for a dollar. In law, it says we have to sell this stuff at public auction, so this just allows for a private transaction to take place between the county and this private individual.
This land sale is coming about because the Boy Scouts in Two Harbors were deeded 4 acres of land, and it was next to a little water hole, nice Stewart River, but it was too close to Two Harbors, and there was a lot of other people around. They wanted a little bit more remote setting, and the county engineer heard about this, and it just so happened that the county road or the township road passed right next to this land, but it had to cross the Lester River twice. So there was two bridges that had to be replaced. They weren't in good working order. So the county engineer got together with the Boy Scouts and said, well, why don't we'll do a land exchange. We looked into the deeded acres to the Boy Scouts, and the title was not clear, so we didn't think a land exchange would be possible. So what we had the Boy Scouts do is let the parcel go tax forfeit, and in exchange, we would like to sell this 16-acre parcel. It's an exhausted gravel pit that Lake County can afford to pass to them. So both the Boy Scouts and Lake County would benefit from this sale of the 16 acres to the Boy Scouts.
Questions for Mr. Martinson or Senator Bach? If not, I'd entertain a motion. Senator Ingebretson?
Yes. I would move that Senate File 272 be recommended to pass and laid over for the possible inclusion of Senate File 1119.
We have the motion. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, gentlemen.
There's colored one.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I would like to ask you, Senator Bach, what Claire Nelson did to earn a paycheck. I didn't know.
County Commissioner.
That was it? And then some.
Previous. To being a county commissioner, I believe he had a trucking business.
He had a trucking business. Okay.
Thank you. Previous to that, in the logging, forestry type industry, Mr. Harnack knew from Bowser, who's recently retired from Bowser, I guess.
Yeah.
Knew and worked with Claire Nelson for many, many years, and he would like to say something. Good, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please identify yourself.
Ron Harnack. I work for the Red River Watershed Management Board now. I'm past director of the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And Claire was my board member for 8 years. And I got to know him as a very dear friend and colleague. And he was a excellent communicator, negotiator, facilitator. Was an individual that tried to find common ground on just about any issue that that you could find. He approached things with the attitude that there was really nothing you couldn't accomplish if you were willing to sit down and communicate, talk about it. And he brought people together who had differences of opinion. And wasn't looking to be a win-win for everybody, but to find the middle ground that everybody could agree to. He was had a great passion for public service. I always wondered how he, you know, made a living, because it seemed like every time I had to reach him, I called the county courthouse, and that's where I could find him. But he had a commitment to forest management, to natural resources, and to his neck of the woods. He was always about outcomes, getting things done. He said, if you weren't about wanting to get things done, then don't talk to me. Nothing else really makes a difference. Effective, efficient, practical ways to get things done was his way of doing business. And I think this is a nice tribute for Claire. Certainly you'll be missed up in that neck of the woods, and as a true statesman for the state, his area, and natural resources. So thanks, Senator Bach, for proposing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harnack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Bach. Senator Saxog, we'll move to Senate File 849.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an author's amendment I'd like to move.
All right.
Okay.
Senator Saxog, it is moved the A2 amendment to Senate File 849. Questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill is yours, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 849, as amended, is a bill that will allow the land exchange that the legislature approved last year for the proposed steel plant in Itasca County to be exempt for the 3% fee to the state that normal tax forfeited lands are required to pay. As you may or may not remember, it was about a 7,000-acre land exchange between the Blandon Paper Company and County of Itasca so that the land could be secured for the potential steel plant. The A2 amendment that we added also extends the term of the lease for this land from 15 to 20 years. And with me today is Kathy Lewis. And you briefly go over the bill, ask any questions, or answer any questions.
Welcome, Ms. Lewis. If you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kathy Lewis with the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Lands and Minerals. This bill is part of the Minnesota Steel Industries Project, and the First Amendment, the bill as originally proposed, is accepting the property that Minnesota Steel Industries may purchase from the county from the Real Estate Assurance Fund. And what has already occurred is that the State Land Exchange Board has approved an exchange of tax forfeited lands between the county and Blandon Corporation. Once the EIS is completed, that exchange will actually be finalized, and so the Blandon lands will become the tax forfeited lands, and Minnesota Steel Industries will either be purchasing those or leasing those. The Real Estate Assurance Fund charges a fee of 3% of the sales price of the land. As part of the land exchange, the title work that was done required title commitments. So I believe the argument here is that the company has looked at the title to the land. The Itasca County Attorney's Office has looked at the title of the land. Attorney General's Office has looked at the title to the land and found out there's no title issue, so there would not be any claims under the Real Estate Assurance Fund for these lands. The Second Amendment is a request from the company to have a 20-year lease by the county. The county does have leasing authority for 10-year leases for some purposes, 15-year leases for like tailings basins, and they also can do easements for a term as prescribed by the county board. But I understand from the company that their financer requires a 20-year lease up front, and that's why the reason is to allow the county board to do 20-year lease up front for their purposes.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Saxog or Ms. Lewis? I guess that'd be just either you or I, Senator Engelbretson.
I move.
Go ahead.
The Senate File 849, as amended, be recommended to pass, laid over for possible inclusion of Senate File 1119.
We have the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Senator Saxog, 1119.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair and members. Tonight we are presenting Senate File 1119. This is the DNR Omnibus Lands and Minerals Bill. We'll hopefully use this as a vehicle for the remaining bills on the agenda, or the previous bills on the agenda, and pass one bill to the full committee. With me, as we noted, is Kathy Lewis from Lands and Minerals, and she's going to go over the bill and answer any questions.
All right. Ms. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Section 1 of the bill is a means to save the state some cost and to be a little bit more efficient in the method by which the DNR acquires land. We currently have a process that is called the minimal valuation process that allows less than a full appraisal for valuation of land for acquisitions and exchanges. We want to raise the minimal value level from $5,000 to $100,000. We've had this procedure in place for a few years now. It's been found to be a reliable method. The work that's done under the minimal valuation is we look at sale costs. We do comparable sale costs. We look at assessed value. We look at any recent sales. And it's fully what you would see for a real estate agent that would do, but it does not meet all the requirements of uniform appraisal practices, which have become very complex over the years. So we're proposing to raise that valuation level.
Is that an unusual jump? I mean, that's quite a jump.
Mr. Chair, the law when it was enacted for sales was at $50,000, and we left $5,000 for acquisitions as we started doing the new process. So we've had sales, and what we've done in the practice with land sales is we've also, when we see parcels that are close to that level, we've done some with appraisals, and we've done some with using the minimal valuation process. We're getting very comparable data, but the cost for us to do the work is about half the cost and over savings over two-thirds of the time. There is a provision in 84.0272 subdivision 4. It's not in the bill because it's not being amended, and it provides that the landowner has to agree to this process. So there's a safety catch there that the landowner doesn't like this quicker process. We will do a full appraisal.
Thank you.
Section 2 of the bill is amending a conflict between two statutes. The Minnesota Data Practices Act provides that appraisal data when the state's acquiring land is protected non-public data until the parties enter into an agreement to buy the land. And protected non-public data means that it's not available for anybody to look at. The Landowner Bill of Rights, which is Minnesota Statutes 84.0274, and that governs how the DNR acquires land, provides that we provide the appraised value to the landowner as we're negotiating with them. And we've identified that there's a conflict between these two laws, and the question is, which one controls? We want to honor the intent of the Landowner Bill of Rights by continuing to provide that appraised value data to the landowner before the offer is made to them, but we also have to recognize that then we need to not withstand the Data Practices Act. Section 3 of the bill is concerning the severed mineral interest law, and this arises due to a court case in St. Louis County. It is amending the severed mineral interest law to basically clarify that forfeiture will occur when there's failure to file a new statement of severed mineral interest when the title has been transferred. This case went up to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, and they said, we recognize there's an ambiguity in the law, and we're not going to decide that in favor of the state. We'll decide in the favor of the plaintiff that brought the quiet title action. And we decided that the best way to stop, we would stop appealing the case and bring this to the legislature to resolve the ambiguity. We think the ambiguity results in that the severed mineral interest law was first enacted in 1969 and said if you own mineral rights separate from your surface interest, you must file a statement in the county courthouse and pay an annual tax. And the purpose of that is to make sure that the owners are being recognized and who owns the mineral rights and that they are being taxed. And that law was amended in 74, and we think that this ambiguity arose because when they amended the law in 74, they didn't catch the old filing requirements. And so what we would like to do is make this technical change to recognize that we want to have an enforcement tool in order that if people don't comply, the interest will forfeit to the state in trust for the taxing districts. Sections 4 and 5 of the bill concern minor changes to state park boundaries. For Flandreau State Park, we have a trespass situation, and we want to add 508 square feet and take out 391 square feet. And we're going to do a land exchange, but we can't, under state law, exchange any land out of a state park. So what we decided to do here is amend the park boundaries, then we can proceed with the land exchange to resolve the trespass. And for Whitewater State Park in Winona County, we're adding 5.78 acres. This is a part of a larger land acquisition. The landowner just wants to sell us what he owns. And we will add this and use it currently as a DNR maintenance access route at this point in time. Sections 60.
Question.
On that Flandreau State Park, who's doing the trespassing?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Chaudhry, the landowner who is adjacent to the state park is the one who did the trespassing.
So, Mr. Chair, why can't that just be enforced?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do have John Lee from the Division of Parks here, and he would be glad to discuss a little bit more about how the decision was made and discussions with the landowner to proceed with this matter.
Sure. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, members, John Lilly, Assistant Director, State Parks. The discussions with the landowner, I guess, to my knowledge, I wasn't privy to the discussions themselves, but I don't think it was an intentional issue. I believe that there was some there was a construction of a pool. And in conjunction with the construction of the pool, there was also some landscaping work that was done around the pool. And I believe that it was more a function of simply not knowing where the boundaries were for the private landowner more than anything else. Subsequently, he has been very amenable to not only the land exchange that in terms of the amount of land we are getting more than we're giving, but beyond that there was also some damage done to about 1,000 square feet of additional property, our property, that he is restoring in conjunction with this exchange. So
any other questions? All right.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Section 6 through 27 of the bill authorize the sale of DNR-administered land. These land are mostly small parcels. They're often isolated in the sense they have no adjoining state land. We're required to come before you on these parcels for several reasons, one of which is several of the border water. And we're required to get legislative approval to sell land bordering water. In a few cases, we're proposing a direct sale. In the cases of individuals, it's to resolve trespasses. We're also proposing some transfers to local units of government so that we can have those lands in a better management status. In total, the bill authorizes public sale of 207 acres. The transfer or direct sale to government entities of 115 acres, and the direct sale of 47 acres. I can go through each section by section if you'd like me to, Mr. Chair.
Senator Saxog, I see you would prefer if we just...
Well, Mr. Chair, I certainly anybody who wants to ask any questions or deal with any specific parcels.
You believe it's in order? It's all okay?
I do. But that if there's questions, there's questions.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Scogan, I reviewed it and it looks in order.
Oh, you. Well, with that, let's move on then. To
if there are questions, Mr. Chair, move the Senate File 1119, including Senate 849 as amended, Senate File 707 as amended, 72, be recommended to pass and be sent to the Environmental Resources Policy Committee.
He needs to actually amend those onto the bill first.
I need to amend.
Mr. Knopf, explanation?
Mr. Chairman, I think you need to make the actual motion to amend the contents as amended by the committee earlier to the bill and then move the bill. So there'd be two motions, one to amend it I mean, you laid those other ones over before for possible amendment.
I believe, Senator Saxog, you need to amend Senate File 1119.
So Mr. Chair, I would move to amend Senate File 1119, including Senate File 849 as amended, Senate File 707 as amended, and Senate File 272 as amended.
That wasn't.
We have that.
72.
We do have that motion now. Any other questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now, Senator Saxog, you can move 1119 as amended.
I would move, Mr. Chair, Senate File 1119 as amended be recommended to pass and be sent to the Environment Resources Policy Committee.
We have the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Thank you,
Mr. Chair and members.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Anything else to come before the committee? If not, this committee is adjourned.
Oh, I had something.